Boy, this week flew by fast. Isn't it unbelievable? Here we are again on the Andy and Amanda show. Another week, another... Amanda, you're on with us, right? You there? I don't hear Amanda. I think she's there. Oh, you know, it's actually the 5 o'clock somewhere Monday show. What I have your Friday show. It's not the Friday show. See, the hell with the script. How you folks doing? It's, I'm showing Amanda's being here. I'm sure she's probably having technical difficulty. And she'll join us again because she just clicked off. But anyway, how you doing, folks? Andy Kimball here on the Andy and Amanda Show. We do join the United States and the United Kingdom for what we want to call a fun presentation of news, information, current events, dissecting, digesting, and discussing what's going on in the world and what affects all of us. Let's see if we can get Amanda back on the show.
Hello.
Right now. There she is. Now we got you. Hi. I saw you on the board.
I was talking away to you, Andy. I was talking away, and I was like, oh, you can't hear me. What's going on?
I was having a fun time doing a solo introduction. Let me just continue. Climb every mountain, forge every stream. They say, Andy, solo. They said, you're solo. I said, oh, cool. Climb every... It was wonderful. I never had so much fun in my whole life. It was great. I never get to solo. Yeah,
beautiful as always. Beautiful, darling.
Thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome.
I appreciate it. How was your weekend?
My weekend was very good. Thank you. I can't complain. Yes, I'm smiling. It's the start of a new week, and I'm ready for it. Ready to face it head on.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. It's 5 o'clock in the UK. It's 5 o'clock where
That's
you are.
Right.
Right there.
It's
It's early in the morning. Well, it's not that early in the morning. No, it was after 9 in the morning for here, which is better than the 3 or 4 in the morning shows we were doing a few weeks ago. But,
That's
hey.
That's very true.
But that
How was
that
your
was
morning going?
My mornings, well, it got a little messed up here. Only I got a script here, and I started reading about how fast the week went, another Friday show, and then I realized, look, wrong script. It's a Monday show. so much for Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, I got a script here, and I'm reading it, and I'm going on. Well, folks, another week.
Yeah.
Yes, boy, the week flew by so fast, and I'm playing the countdown here. You know,
You know, I did wonder what that noise is when you first started playing. I was like, huh, is he tapping his fingers? Is he tapping his fingers? What else are you doing?
Yeah, and I'm reading along here, you know. Hey, boy, that week went fast. Oh, my goodness. And I'm looking. Wait a minute. It's Friday, February 12th. That's not today. Oh, wrong. Oh, where's that script? Oh, here it is. Oh, hey, folks, it's another week starting off with the, you know, shuffling through my papers, finding the right script. What the hell am I supposed to say? Because, you know, this show is so carefully scripted, as you know. So carefully scripted. Our writers diligently in preparing this paperwork and preparing us what to say. And Cornell, who's you know, otherwise disengaged from us. I think he wants nothing to do with us.
He's listening, probably thinking, what the hell are they talking about? Wait till I see
Well, you know how diligent he is that we stick to the program, stick to the script, and stick to the agenda. And we so I tried. It was the wrong one. Anyway, so you had a good weekend. Happy Valentine's Day, belated. Happy Valentine's Day to you, love. Thank you.
Did you have a nice weekend?
I had a very – let me think. Oh, you know what I did this weekend? I really dove into the guitar and my music this weekend. I had –
Oh, fantastic.
The whole weekend, I played hours of guitar, literally, and also played some bass tracks to last night. I pulled out the Fender Jazz Bass and worked on the bass, but I just – And I also went to a guitar place. I don't think you have them there. You have guitar there, I know, because I did a kind of impromptu workshop for them last year. And got to know the guys in the chain and introduced to what they're doing, and that's how I got some connections there. But anyway, great place, guitar in the UK. We have something here called the Guitar Center, and it's like a big Kmart, you know. You know, chain store of music.
Sorry, sweetheart.
What did Eisenhower do?
My eyes would just light up if I walked into that place. Sorry, as you were saying, my darling.
I thought you were talking. I thought you said about President Eisenhower. I said, Mandy, he hasn't been president in a long. Eisenhower's long gone, man. I'm like, I know it's Monday morning. Well, at least it's Monday morning here. But you're going, oh my God, Eisenhower. I'm like, what about Eisenhower? Huh? Anyway, your eyes. Gotcha. It's an accent. It's a British accent, I must say. Anyway, so anyway, I went in there and I ended up doing a little impromptu, workshop guitar thing. Mm. And it went, it's cool just to have a crowd anywhere because it's been, in March will be a year before since I did my last show, my last live audience show was March. Yeah. And it felt so good to pull out some Taylor guitars and a couple of Gibsons too. And just wail away there. And just people it was so great to do, kind of discussing some techniques and things. And that was really wonderful to have that opportunity. And then that's what I did all weekend. I just did a lot of music, worked on some of my new material, to kind of put the next album together. And it felt totally, totally incredible because I've just been so, I look at the guitars, which I have many of, and, in the past few months, and just, I've got a bass. There's something else to do. I'm working, and I'm glad I did. The bass is great. I'm learning how to play the bass. And
amazing.
I should sing some of the tracks that I'm, I'll take some tunes by, Dorma Caconin and Mary Chapin Carpenter and, other people who normally play with bands with other people, and I have acoustic solo tracks, and I go and I lay the bass parts down, I kind of download the audio.
Beautiful.
And it gives me, I haven't played guitar my whole life. I've never played bass in my life, so I'm having fun with it. But when some of it's pretty good. I want to send you some of the things I've done and tell me. I want you to be honest. I want you to be totally honest with what you think, knowing that I've never played bass in my life. No, I've never done it.
Okay.
But I want you to I want you to tell me if you think after COVID, if I could hire myself out as a gig bass player with the band or something.
I'm sure you could, darling. You're very, very talented. And of course, I'm more than happy to listen to your skills and give you that feedback that you are requesting.
My skills. We talk about that later. Listen, there's a lot that happened in the news, of course, over the weekend as well, with the former president being basically acquitted. But 10 Republicans crossed the aisle. The first impeachment in history where it was a truly bipartisan event, even though they didn't get 17, they got 10 Republicans. They needed 10 more. They get 7, they needed 10, or they get 10, they needed 7, something like that. But I don't have it right here in front of me, but whatever. It was one of those two. I think they got 7, they needed 10. That's what it was. They got 7 Republicans, they needed 10 more, which they didn't get. And it was the first time in history where it crossed the aisle. And they basically acquitted him. And the rationale, we know really what the rationale is, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But the rationale was that the Republicans signed on early.
Yeah.
That it was unconstitutional to impeach somebody who can't be impeached because he doesn't hold office. That was proven to be wrong legally, constitutionally, in every other respect. Respect, and it was agreed upon and stipulated early on. And you got to let go of the chain. You let go of it, and you say, okay, that's, you can't talk about it. It's already been decided that we can do this proceeding. It's already done. Also, getting back to what I was just saying, I believe that if the Republicans in majority stood up, they had to stand up and say guilty or innocent. And each one of them was stood up and was recognized by name. And then they said guilty or innocent. I'm thinking the Proud Boys, Trump's boys, and other factions, let's call them Trump's boys. Would have put a big black X on every one of those senators who voted to convict, and their lives would have been in danger.
Yes.
That's what I think. I don't know that to be true, but I'm sure that, these senators go home, they have families and kids and lives, And I would understand, after seeing what happened on the Capitol, you know, I would understand their fear.
Cool.
And some of them, you look at it, you know, a Tom Cruise, and you look at a Graham, Lindsey Graham, who chastised Trump after the, you know, the night, you know, when they all went back to work. I said, I'm sorry. I'm done. That's been a great adventure. I'm done with this journey. That's been a great adventure. Yeah. I'm done. And he went on and on. And and you'd think, man, this guy's going to vote to convict, along with McConnell and everybody, because they were the witnesses. Their lives were in danger.
Yeah.
And these folks were carrying Trump flags. And you know, Trump was watching this on TV, and he didn't do anything to stop it. And lo and behold, he's the only one who could. The interesting thing is, we're going to play a clip in a few minutes. We're going to get back to this because I want to talk about your weekend and what's going on in the UK, as we usually do. Then we'll kind of jump back into this again and play hear some of what Mitch McConnell had to say. But let's get back into the UK. This is the 5 o'clock hour in the UK. This is the Andy and Amanda show. You can email us at andyandamanda@gmail.com. Let us know you want to be on the show. We'll send you an email invite for your headset and microphone. Make sure you have them.
Absolutely.
So you can talk to us. And here in the United States and other portions of the world where you can call in, you Skype or whatever telephone service you have at 515-605-9888 on the Reload programs, which we do run many of after the live show. You obviously can't call in live. But our number is 515-605-988 right now. We're standing by for your calls. But let's get to Amanda Love in the UK and find out what's going on in her neck of the world.
Okay, my darling. Wow. Say that woodpecker again. He's always welcome here. We finally have those quarantine hotels. Yay! No, I'm not serious with that. But we finally have them, and the first guests have arrived today. So those who are British, Irish, UK citizens that arrive in our country, coming from a high-risk country, must now isolate in one of 16 hotels. So those isolating will need to pre-book and will have to fork out £1,750 to cover a 10-day stay at the hotel, which includes the hotel itself, travel, and testing. So the additional rate for one extra adult or child aged over 12 is £650, and for a child aged 5 to 12, it is £325. So those who fail to quarantine in the hotels can expect to receive a fine between £5,000 and £10,000. Ouch. And a possible prison sentence of up to 10 years for those who lie about traveling from red-listed countries on their passenger locator forms. So as I mentioned on a previous show, regarding the testing, whilst quarantined, there will be two tests for all passengers who are required to isolate, not just those coming from red-listed countries and going into hotels. So one test will take place on the second day of quarantine and one on the 8th 10-day isolation period. You will be expected to pay £210 for the test. Those failing to take the test could be fined £2,000. So all people arriving in Scotland from anywhere abroad by air travel will now have to go straight into a quarantine hotel. Anyone coming from any high-risk countries arriving in Wales and Northern Ireland will have to and pay for their accommodation at a quarantine hotel in England due to no direct international flights. So I just want to lay out these rules for everybody so they can be aware of what's going on. You must have a negative test up to 72 hours before your flight and can face a £500 fine for not providing one. Spot checks will be done by border force officials. You must book your quarantine space online before you travel. You must stay in a quarantine hotel for 10 days. You must stay in your room whilst at the hotel. You must be tested twice on the days I mentioned a moment ago. And the cost of the quarantine will be, as I mentioned earlier, £1,750 per person. The same rules apply to those arriving by other means of travel, such as boat or train. So all in-depth details of the rules can be found online, and I highly recommend that they are looked at seriously for those intending to travel, as these rules are very serious and would be best not to be too hopeful and take the situation for granted. And we have 15 million plus people who have been vaccinated. And we now have entered into the next phase of vaccinations, with the top groups of high priority being vaccinated. The next phase is aimed at those over 65 and those younger who are at risk from the end of February to April, I believe they want to do that, my darling. And some other bits of interesting news. Bill Gates has been in the news with stepping down from Microsoft board to focus his time of passion on global health and development, as well as climate change. And he released a book called How to Avoid Climate Disaster, obviously talking about climate change and the humongous effort it's taken to tackle the issue. He stands firm with his opinion that the government needs to tackle many of the problems we have not yet worked out, and how to resolve, and mentions disaster is guaranteed for those living near the equator without the governments of the world stepping up to work on this. And he talks of the Republicans needing to push this issue for at least 30 years and said business just can't change all that physical infrastructure unless the market signals are constant and clear. So he's really trying to push for that at the moment, guys. And another thing I wanted to cover was the food businesses that people are running from their own homes during lockdown. So these part again, Andy. Food Standards Agency is very concerned regarding the hygiene and health and safety, as more and more people are running little food businesses from their homes, cooking foods to order on places like WhatsApp, Instagram, and Nextdoor. And many of these people are failing to register as food businesses, which means their hygiene standards are not checked by local authorities. So the hygiene inspections ceased to continue with the first lockdown, and since then they've been focusing on high-risk cases. And they've been trying to do like video calls to keep up with all the backlog that they've got. But this does not reduce the risks of spotting things like out-of-date ingredients or nasty animal things and stuff like that that, you know, exists in places where a lot of food is cooked. So people, please be aware of these small businesses trying to make a living. I understand their need to earn money, but your lives are very important when it comes to poisoning yourselves from sources you have no proof of being safe and a highly clean environment. So just be aware. Just be aware. So, you know, these are the main points I felt was good pickings today, Andy.
Yeah, let me ask you a question, if you don't mind. Yeah. I want to go back to the travel. If I were to, does this mean if I were to, you know, buy or actually use my ticket that my shows got canceled there last year, if I were to use my ticket to come to London, I don't know, sometime soon. I'd have to stay in one of these quarantine hotels.
I mean, they've got 33 countries listed, red listed, as highly highly dangerous in terms of virus situation.
Yeah, we're the worst here in the United States. I'm sure we're one of them.
I'm sure the US is one of them. So yeah, anybody coming from any country like that would have to go straight to a quarantine hotel and do that.
Wow, so that would be 1,700 pounds, and the pound to dollar. Let me see. A 1 pound is was, I think it still is, about $1.40, $1.39, right in there. Is the conversion rate, which is better than it used to be. So $1.39, so 1 pound, so 1,700 times 0.3, now whatever, it'd be like over $2,000 additional.
You know, I'm wondering if they would let people in from different countries that don't actually live here, because they are stating it's British, Irish, and UK citizens that arrive in our country that are going straight into these quarantine hotels. So I'm wondering if they will just not allow anybody who's not a resident here to just travel here.
Yeah, I don't know. We should look into that
because I think that's important to cover.
It is. Let's do that. We'll do that.
Definitely.
Folks, and get that information out and discuss that information, because it's important. The world is small. You know, we travel around the world and within hours, any hours, it could be 14 hours or 17 hours, but it's still a matter of hours from any point A to any point B on the entire globe. So the world's small, between, you know, being able to travel and be able to communicate and Zoom and, you know, various apps and WhatsApp and, you know, a toddler, what's it called? Thank you. So much for my social media skills. But you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. The world is very small, and we all are used to just being able to, you know, get on Just Fly or Expedia or whatever, or go to the airlines, or go to the Southwest or British Airways and EasyJet, and you know, buy a cheap ticket and get on the plane and go, and you know, stand in security lines. And that was our big thing about going to the airport. We'd just say, "Hey, how long is security line going to be? When's the best time to travel?" And those days are behind us. Now we have, can we go anywhere? You know, where, you know, can we go? You know, can we travel within our own community, let alone around the world? So. It's a different world. I did tell you on Friday's show that I had my second vaccine, and I had absolutely zero. It went for me. It was fine. My arm was just a little bit sorer than the first vaccine. That could either be the change in injection site, which is just a little bit off from where the first one was. You know, maybe a little more sensitive in the muscle or something. But even that little bit more sensitive. And I thought about it, why I was feeling it, a little sore, and I, you know, but I was thinking, it doesn't bother me. I could live with this. If this is the worst of it, this is, you know, I could take a boat trip, but I'm fine. I could swim. I could play ball. I can do anything and live with that. That's how little it was. If you wanted to take a Motrin or an aspirin, bam. Now, everybody else in my family had a reaction except, and I thought my youngest daughter, actually, she was almost like me. She had a minor. My wife was incredibly fatigued, like horribly fatigued. And my oldest daughter threw up a bunch of times, but they were still fine. It wasn't like they were, oh my God. Oh, they were still absolutely fine. You know, no real complaints. You know, my oldest daughter would say, I threw up again. I threw up, you know, she's fine. You know, I threw up. Okay. You're right. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm good. You know? So those of you, and most of you have not been vaccinated yet. I know that, in our listening audience around the world, you know, you don't even feel the shot. If for those of you who are worried about injections themselves, you don't even feel it. You can be talking to the person who gives it to you, and next thing you know, they got a Band-Aid, and you say, "What's the Band-Aid for?" "Oh, I can put it over it." "Oh, you're done?" You don't even feel it, or if you feel anything, it's like a nothing. It's like mosquito bites hurt more, right? Yeah. So don't worry about that. And the afterwards, you have a tiny bit of an arm sore. You can, believe me, live with it. And then the reactions after that vary from nausea, diarrhea, fatigue, headache, slight fever. And if you get any of those symptoms, it means it's working. That's good. You want that to happen. Now, in my case, because I checked this out and everybody says, "That's good, that's good, that's good." I'm like, I didn't get anything. Does that mean it's not working?
Yeah.
Hello? Hello? Uh-oh. I felt nothing.
No question.
I got zero. I was jamming on the guitar. I'm growing a third arm. Things are doing great. did I fail to tell you that? I now have three arms. I forgot about that one. Yeah, but it's good. You know what I mean?
I bet working out is certainly interesting, Andy.
you know, it's that third arm. I knew I was missing something in my. Anyway, I'll tell you though, so you didn't, now you did not get vaccinated. You didn't get number one yet, right?
No, I'm not entitled to it as of yet, darling. Like I said, they've just gone into this second phase now with the next group of people that are liable. No, that's not the right word.
Reliable? People who are reliable?
Eligible. That's the word. Eligible. She got there in the end. Yeah, eligible, Andy. I'm not eligible as of yet. I mean, the doctor's surgery did text me and say, you know, you're be eligible for it fairly soon. We'll keep you informed. So everyone's just waiting to hear about that. But I'm nervous. I'm nervous, Andy. I think everybody
here,
is, to be fair, but, you know.
Here in Los Angeles, they ran out of vaccines. They canceled all, you know, people. They have these great big drive-in centers and stadium parking lots, you know, you're 65 and older, I think, or the open population. I think it's still 65 and older and healthcare workers. I got in, just so you know, folks, how did Andy get I got in because I actually do work officially with on a research grant, helping my wife really at Chapman University, where I have firsthand contact with infants in a research study that they're doing for rehabilitation of various upper extremity ailments that affect newborns. And I do some work in that field, although I haven't really done any direct they call them subjects, not patients. They're they're subjects. Yes. And we have a healthy population, an affected population. And we do all this.
Yes.
I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, that is how my family was able to get vaccinated before anybody else in the world. Excuse me. I mean, before.
You're special. I see how it is. I see. Yeah.
But just so our listeners know, like, who is this Andy Kimball guy? How do you get an injection? But what I was getting to here is Los Angeles ran out of vaccines.
Right.
There's no more vaccines to be had here. They're gone. So a neighbor of mine, who's a great guitar player, Matt, he's a fabulous guitar player, singer. We get together. We're both, COVID-free and live, pretty similar lives. So he comes over and we jam. And, he's got a family with kids, and I'm here sitting by my lonesome playing my guitar. But he comes over and we jam. And his job is the coordinator. He handles the budgeting and the logistics of all the testing and the vaccines in the county of Los Angeles. That's his job.
Wow.
So he's really cool talking about getting inside information. But he told me before it was publicly announced that they were running out, and he said the reason why they're running out is it's all politics.
Right.
It's all politics and money and more politics. Some of the chain stores here that were supposed to vaccinate people, the big chain pharmaceutical companies and the Walmarts and so forth that were supposed to begin, the 21 chains were given the green light to get this thing and to start injecting the public. They were, okay, when is this going to happen? And Biden did unleash, something to the tune of, several million, 200 million, I think, vaccines to be distributed.
Yes.
And I don't know what the holdup is or why or where. It's happening, though. But here's the good news. It's happening. These vaccines are making their way into people's arms. They're no longer just being talked about. They're no longer being, we have them. We have 39 million distributed and 700,000 ended up being injected into people's arms. The numbers are climbing and climbing and climbing and climbing as to how many are getting injected. And that's what we want to hear. I don't care about how many are distributed. I care about how many are ending up in people's bodies. That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to what we were saying earlier, because I just want to play a clip if I – oh, no, the clip's not ready yet. All right, so
la,
what we'll
la,
do
–
so, why the clip takes its time to prepare itself. I don't know why it's taking a while, but
maybe
it is.
He's nervous. He's probably got
it might be. I'd be nervous about coming on the show. I'd be nervous. but what
I still get nervous.
I have a question because you're a performer. Do you get nervous when you do your music?
Andy, I've never performed for anybody in my life. Music.
I was all excited about those AVN awards, man. I was thinking, man, we're gonna hop right to it. Damn.
Didn't everybody know? I've never performed for anybody, darling. So, getting on this show, there's always like those butterflies literally just before I go on and, settle in. I don't know why. I mean, it's second home for me being on here and with you guys. And so I don't have any reason to be nervous. But, I think you just want to prepare yourself, make sure you're prepared. You say the right things, you don't like make too much of an ass for yourself on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So the usual insecurities, right?
Yeah, we asked some other people about if they get nervous too when they perform, because it's when you go in front of an audience, you're giving a talk, giving a lecture, doing whatever your job is. Do you ever get nervous? That's an interesting discussion. Do you ever get nervous about doing your job? Here's what some of our respondents had to say.
Not even the sex so much, but there are days when you just don't want to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot.
Not even the sex so much, but there are days when you just don't want to go to work. Not even the sex so much, but there are days when you just don't want to go to work.
Yeah, so many respondents had to say the same thing. I don't know. Maybe it's just the people who are asking. I don't know,
Andy. I mean, the mind boggles.
But I've been asked that. And I feel more comfortable. This is just me. I feel more comfortable on stage than I do in real life. I really do.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. You are a born performer then, my darling.
There's something about it. I don't know what it is. And even, you know, I've done some acting work by minor parts, you know. I've done my share of even background. I might do anything, you know, with a paycheck here in L.A., but practically. But I've actually had a couple of lead roles in indie movies. I've been in some TV shows. I've done things, and I never really talk about that. I don't consider myself an actor. It's something I enjoy doing. It's great to be on set. You know, sometimes I get on set and, you know, a long day, and I show up and meet the, you know, directors and so forth and get ready to, you know, put wardrobe and you're ready and all the things that go into doing a TV show. And I get like goosebumps. I'm like, God, I love this. I want to do more of this. This is what I want to do. I can see why people love it, because I literally get like chills. I'm like, oh my God, I love this. Then I settle back into the real world. Then I come back off of doing a show after a week or a day, whatever it is. You know, I did a couple of movies where it was an entire winter, like Creed, you know, it was a whole winter gig.
Wow.
It was great. And the paychecks were great. And I get done. And then you go to work every day, and that's just kind of what you do. Early morning shows, sometimes you get up at 5 in the morning, and, you know, back east, you know, you're driving freezing cold, you're showing up to set, the sun's not even up yet. And for a long day after day, you're like, okay, all right. And then I think to myself, well, some people work for a living.
No.
The other people out there, you know, doing everything from, you know, being professors to brain surgeons to laying bricks, to astronauts or whatever, and they're you know, and everything in between, to radio hosts, and they're I don't know, radio hosts. Do we really work? Is this, I don't know.
I guess this
is a job. This is an occupation. This is an occupation. This is a job. And even looking into this job, there are days where we've talked about this, where the days where, oh my God, all the prep work and doing the audio clips and getting the news and what are we going to talk about? And sometimes you just don't feel like doing it, but you know, you got a show to do and you just do it.
Absolutely. I'm the first to admit I have those moments, you know?
We've talked about that. And there have been times when I think you and I have both been like, oh man, then Cornell calls us and he says, do you guys want to take a day off? And we're like, yeah. You know, Cornell calls me, Andy, why don't you just run a rerun? I'm like, yeah.
I know, right. But
you don't really feel that so much on when you're doing a movie or TV show. I mean, you just do it, you know. It's kind of cool, but I do miss that to a point, and I do get notices for auditions, and I submit, and I haven't gotten one. I haven't gotten one since COVID. I haven't gotten one. No, not true. Not true at all. No, not true. I've gotten several requests for self-tapes. They call them EcoCast. They send you the script, and they want you to, you know, COVID, everything else. They want you to, and actually sometimes they cast shows this way anyway, to do an audio, if it's a voiceover or you know, your narration, or if it's a video, they send you the sides, which is a script, and they want you to self-tape. And I've got video cameras and all that. I can do all that stuff here. I wonder if I could self-tape.
How did you get into acting, Andy?
I was just thinking about I got into acting by meeting a guy who runs an acting school and a casting agent, a manager. And I guess, you know, actually back east, really, this guy is very, you know, the guy has created many, many careers from kids who are now very well-known adult actors, mostly in TV and a few movies, Aubrey Plaza, John Gallagher. And many names, people you'd know, but, you know, I can't think of the top of my head. But who he trained when they were kids. And, they, you know, their first acting coach was this guy, and they went on to become major players. My daughter had a thing for acting, and she's quite, you know, she's talented and musically talented. And, you know, and I said, well, listen, you know, I'm your dad. I remember this place in Philly. I think they're not there anymore. But, I mean, I think, you know, we're Philly's close proximity to New York. And I was going to call around on behalf of my young daughter, you know, and I think she was, 12 at the time or something. I was going to, you know, as her dad, you know, try to help. And where can we send her to, for good? You know, if she wants to get into acting, let her explore that and see if she, you know, get her some training and so forth. So, yeah. So I just remembered this very notable acting training center. It's called the Actor Center in Philadelphia, where this guy whose wife is one of the most prominent artist managers of actors on Broadway and film in the world, in the country. She, you know, she represents actors who make $200,000 a week. You know, if you're not at that level, she doesn't have anything to do with you, really, you know.
Right.
But she picks up people every once in a while and puts them in. But and her name is, you know, I can say it, Edie Robb is her name. You can look her up, Edie Robb, R-O-B-B. And so her husband was a manager as well and an acting coach. So anyway, I met him and we're talking for a while and he's, you know, we're having a conversation like you and I are. And he looks at me, he says, "Hey, let me ask you a question." He's an older guy. I think he was 80 something at the time. He said, "Do you ever think about doing TV shows or commercials yourself?" "Nah, I'm a guitar player." He said, "No, you know what? I want you to come into one of my TV commercial classes, whatever night of the week it was. You know, my acting on, it's on camera. It's on camera training. I want you to be my guest and come in and look at some scripts. I'm not an actor. I'm not, you know, whatever, you know, I have been on TV. I was involved in public relations and advertising in a different career years ago. I did TV. I did some, you know, radio commercials because my client didn't have the budget to hire talent. So I said, "God damn it, I'll do it." "Hey, I can't believe it really works."
"I can't believe
it. Wow. I got a 2400 on my SAT. God damn." "Andy, you're quite talented." Thank you. "Thank you very much. Thank you."
"Yes, you are."
So anyway, so I went in and he gave me a script from the commercial the way you walk in this class and right away, bam, they get right down to business and they give you scripts for that, you know, that evening show. And sometimes it's solo work, sometimes with the partner, and they give you scripts and then you leave the room and you go over with somebody who you don't know. And you talk about, you know, "I'll play this character. You play this character. Here's how we'll do it." So I'm, you know, somebody I didn't know and they film you. And then after they film you, after everybody's done, they show all of them on a big TV screen and he dissects them and coaches you and the whole class gets to see what you did and comment and he coaches, right, of everybody. So it was actually great. So it was time for me and my partner, the class had a lot of laughs. The story of my life. No respect. You know what I mean? All I did is film me on the screen. Right away. They didn't even say anything yet. They took one look at me. "Andy, you're so gifted." I don't see, you don't have to say a word. The whole audience breaks up laughing. But anyway, you know, they took one look. That's all they had to do. They look, you know. I'm like, "What kind of film am I auditioning for here?" No, but anyway, he liked what I did. He was complimentary. And then as the whole class is leaving, I said, "Okay, that was, he just brought me in. It was, I could see if I like it." And he grabs me by the arm. He pulls me aside as the class is leaving the room. And he says, you exceeded my expectations. I mean, that you were really good, really good."
Wow.
And I'm like, "Thank you." And then I continued to drop my daughter off. You know, I drive away in town on Saturday mornings for her class. And then a few weeks later, I ran into him again. And he said, "You haven't been coming back. Where are you?" And I'm like, oh, Rodney. I'm like, and his name is Rodney Robb. You can look him up as well. But anyway, I was like, I'm not an actor. He says, "Oh, my gosh." He says, you come back here. And he brought me back to his office. He said, "Your daughter is very gifted. She is fabulous. I'd see where it comes from. You and your daughter both have a lifelong scholarship to my school and under my management umbrella. I will make my money by managing you. Don't pay a dime. You can't just come into set cold. You know, you need to prepare. You need to know what to expect. You need to learn what happens and how to use the camera and how to do teleprompters. And I want to show you how to do that stuff. But I want you to come in." And I came in here and there. I didn't come in all the time. And I said, oh, and then, you know, I told him, I'm not going to pay for acting lessons. And he said, you're not paying for anything. You're not paying.
Yeah.
You know, it's on me.
Wow.
So then he introduced me down the road, fast forward, move out to California. He introduces me, gives me a couple other agents. I met with one. He said the same thing. Do you ever think about doing TV shows? And no. Me? No, not really. I must say, no.
Why not?
Because I'm afraid.
You're what?
I'm afraid.
No, you're all set.
Anyway, so I show up in California, and 2 weeks after moving here, I had my first job at ABC Disney, and then I got a whole bunch of stuff after that, and every step along the way was I'm a guitar player. I'm doing this. First of all, I didn't, you know, we moved out here, and I didn't, you know, have a, you know, I started a music career, and I was involved in the boat business, and, you know, I love sailing and help people get into sailboats. You know, I do different things, but my main thing is guitar, obviously.
Yeah.
And so to me, an acting gig was a paycheck, and I signed up even to do background work. Of course, there's plenty of that in California. I got to meet people, but, you know, by going, and that was fun too. I mean, okay, you're an extra, background, they call it, but I had some feature roles and recurring roles and callbacks. It was minimal sometimes a little bit of dialogue. The director would say, hey, you know, we've got two lines, I want you to say this here, blah, blah, blah. And I would do that. And then they call you back and that kind of thing. I got a gig on a TV series called American Horror Story Asylum.
Yeah.
I played season two. I played a mental patient, probably for good reason. See,
the man is crazy. Do not let him leave the room.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, here. This man is. Can you imagine going through life as an echo chamber? Like, hello, man, how are you? You. It is good to see you. Can you imagine, like, if you walked up to somebody and they were actually an echo, like a stadium announcer, and that's how they really were?
You know, I end up talking like that sometimes, Andy.
But anyway, so that's you asked. I gave him to a whole dissertation here. I didn't mean to do that, but anyway,
I asked a question and you've answered, and I'm very grateful for that.
and then after a while I started actually getting calls. I didn't have to audition. I get a call from a director or assistant producer to come in and do a show or do a recreation of a scene or that kind of thing, and student projects, and it would pay $150 here, a few hundred there. Then I get a TV pilot. Yeah. Then I got involved in producing my own show that I thought of, which is how I met Lloyd Booker, who I was doing the show with originally. Lloyd and I met on set at a show that I'm still working on called Casting, which is the life behind the counter, the camera of the whole film and TV industry as seen through the eyes of emerging actors. You know,
amazing.
And, it was a comical, like a Seinfeld, How I Met Your Mother, Cheers. That kind of show, The Office, you know, The Office being a big casting management agency. So I've got a show called Casting, which we actually have 167 video clips of it, that I'm involved as not only obviously a principal role, but I'm also, I figured if they're not going to call me, God damn it, then I'm going to do my own goddamn show.
Why not?
You know? Which is really, you know, it was originally guy meets girl, you know, something like, you know, musician, you know, it's kind of based around my own life, but not really, you know, the basis. not that I've had, you know, quick talk, but anyway. But it's been fun, and what they're thinking is interesting, and I'm talking to our whole audience now. How many people have dinner, come home, do whatever, and they turn on the TV and they watch TV or watch the movie or watch Netflix? Really think about what goes on behind the camera. How do those people who are doing this get those jobs? And what are those jobs? And how does one get them? And that's what my TV show was really. Here's a school where it's going to teach you how it happens through a comical sitcom. But we're going to really show you how it works. But we're going to make a TV series out of how it works. But the basic information, if you ever wanted to do this, here's really how the whole thing works. Whether you're going to go into film or TV or casting or be a background actor or Brad Pitt, you know, Tom Cruise, they started as background actors. They showed up as extras. Brad Pitt.
Amazing.
And the list goes on, not just Brad Pitt, but how do you, not that you encourage, but, you know, hey, be a background actor in your venture career. As a matter of fact, I would encourage, you know, wannabe actors, you don't put background work on your resume because it doesn't mean anything. Hey, I can walk across the street with the best of them when told to do so. As a matter of fact, I'm better at it when I'm told to do so than when I'm not. You're hired. We need somebody just like you to star in our movie.
yeah, right. I'm sure I heard about casting, Andy, and I'm sure I saw it somewhere recently. I wasn't even aware that you did that. I can't think where I saw it. That's going to bug me.
It was a pilot that was put out for a little bit. I'm still working on it. It's by no means good. Now, there was another show which I was informed of after I started my show. And I had partners and writers, and we had the whole shebang, you know, come in. It was, you know, I had a whole big production crew. And it was no budget. Nobody got paid. I mean, this was just, you know, everybody had the same, you know, share my passion. I want to make this work. I want to recruit people who are sitting around waiting for the phone to ring for casting opportunities. Let's go do it ourselves. Let's go do this. Let's get good writers. Let's get good production people, good camera people, you know, good set designers. Let's do this on our own. What's it pay? It pays nothing. Are you on board? What are you doing? You're sitting around. Let's go. You know, get off the couch and go make something happen. Because if you're sitting away from the phone, or guess what? It ain't. So
exactly.
And that goes with any career. And you know, I've started my own businesses before. And and accountants have said, hey, you know, Andy, when people start their own business, they usually do it for the freedom or for the money. Why did you start your business? And my response was, I couldn't find a job. So I decided to make a few million dollars. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's true, though. It's true. You can't just sit around and say, oh, one day, you know, God, the universe, whatever you're thinking about is going to just land it on your plate, you know, and be hopeful. You do have to take action. You do have to take those baby steps. Even if they're the wrong steps in the wrong direction, you'll know about it soon enough if they are. And you'll be guided into what is the right step. But it's just taking that action, getting that ball rolling. And it's amazing what comes of that. It really
is. No matter what you're doing. Yeah, you're right. But anyway, that's you know, it's interesting, the acting. You know, you could look at the acting businesses. This is generic. It's just what you're saying. No matter what your profession or your field is.
Yeah.
The way I look at life, it's kind of interesting. I hate to keep talking about myself. I hate doing that. I hate it, but I can't. I'm just going to give this one example. I was a pilot, you know, I was a pilot. And I had, as a professional pilot, I looked at the flying, the life of an airplane and commanding an airplane, much like life itself in this respect. There was a book. Did you ever hear of a book growing up called Jonathan Livingston Seagull, about the seagull who just was just so incredibly exhilarated just to be able to fly? It's called Jonathan.
I've not heard of that.
Look up. Oh, it's interesting read. I mean, it'll take you half a day to read it. It's called Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Livingston Seagull. Get that book. Download it online. Whatever. It's a fabulous, philosophical, easy to understand, fun read. So I looked at flying, you know, after I got out of flying and I got furloughed from airline jobs and Europe, I said, what am I going to do now? Waiting for the phone ring to get my job back. And I looked at the opportunities. I looked at the opportunities and how you combine opportunities in life. And I also imagined an airplane going down a runway, waiting to become airborne. And all the obstacles, all the anti-human things that this airplane has to overcome in order to become airborne. If it doesn't, it runs out of runway. Or if it's not balanced right, or if it weighs too much, it bounces back to the runway. Mm-hmm. Life is like an airplane going down that runway. Yeah. And you have to overcome so many obstacles, competitive obstacles, things that work against you to make something happen. Just like an airplane going down the runway.
Yeah.
And sometimes I ask people, is that, you know, when they come to me for advice, like Dr. Ruth.
How have you been conversing with her, have you, my darling?
They come to me. you know, the but what you have to, you know, life itself, is it friendly, really? I mean, you know, think about, you get out of school, you get out of what? You get out of trade school, you're a professor, you decided, even if you're not schooled, then it's something you want to go ahead and do and create and make happen. Is there such thing as an easy road? You know, is there,
no.
You know, is there an easy path? And you have to work, just like an airplane has to work so hard to become airborne. You know, the speed's got to be right. The airfoil's got to be shaped right. All these things have to happen.
The thing is, I think a lot of people tend to believe that life should be handed on a plate to you, that we are deserving of so much that we shouldn't have to work hard for what we want. But there's a difference between working hard and doing something you enjoy. Because if you find that enjoyment in something you really want to do, it won't feel so much like hard work. And that's where it becomes easy for you. There will be moments where it doesn't feel so easy if you're not having a great day, you know, or, you know, you get those little personal challenges jump up in your face saying, yeah, I'm here to test you, to make you want it even more, to make you better and all that kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, it all depends on how you perceive it and the kind of mindset you have of it, right?
Yeah, it does. And you got to work hard, usually, in most cases. Of course, there are some exceptions. Yeah. You have to work hard at what you're that airplane going down that runway. And there's a lot of things you're going to have to overcome to get to step 1, 2, 3, and 4, let alone to meet your ultimate goal. Yeah. And what else I learned along the way is this didn't work out. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do that. There is no empowerment. There is no forward momentum by having that conversation with yourself or living in that world of upset, whether your love relationship broke up, whether your job didn't work out, whether you had a big argument with a parent or other loved one that disenfranchised that relationship. And then you live in that, I'm going to because of that. I'm going to because of that. How many of us have had that conversation? I'm going to, or I'm not going to because of that, or I'm going to because of that.
Yes.
That's where you live. And that becomes, think about, can you ever move forward or in any direction from that, living in that conversation that you have with yourself? You can't. There is no forward movement.
No.
There's none.
No.
It does. So it's so important, whether you do it consciously or not, to have some kind of objective or a goal, or else you're that airplane looking to take off and you're going to run out of runway. You know,
that's right.
So
keep chasing your tail
It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean, well, every day I get up and I'm going to, you got to realize that.
No time for sex.
You know, you know, along the way.
Absolutely. If you play golf, if you play tennis or whatever you do, you have to make time for sex.
Whatever you do. I love the way you said that. Oh, whatever you do.
So given that one caveat, you've got to. You always have an objective in anything you do. If I get off the couch to get a cup of coffee, my objective is to get that cup of coffee. Now, I can be stopped from getting that cup of coffee. You know, I can, right? Let's see who's on the line. Hold on a second. Let's see. I think we got a stranger here.
Okay.
Hello.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hey, I'm just calling in to make sure you're doing your job.
Hello, my darling. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? I'm doing great, man. I'm sorry I couldn't be on. Well, I'm on a show right now, but
sorry,
I couldn't
be on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, just call to check in on, say hi to you guys and everything. You know, I'm out here getting this water heater in my house installed, so I didn't want the noise to be on a radio show.
Oh, but we understand.
thank you for that. We're just having a discussion here about. Somehow, I don't even know how we got into this. I think through acting or something, but we're talking about moving ahead with your life and getting off the ground and achieving objectives professionally and relationship-wise, and we somehow got off the news. There's more news I wanted to play, and we'll do that on Wednesday's show. But anyway, that's pretty much
on
where,
the next show.
On the next show.
Yeah.
We'll let you know what we're talking about next time around. We're not going to let you know what we're talking about this time around because we don't know.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't even know.
No.
We don't know. We don't know.
But yeah, you're right. Positive energy, everything, getting goals in life, and relationships positive, no mm-hmm. negative energy. You don't have negative energy in your life. Things in life will grow and everything. That's how I look at it. If you have one bad apple in your circle, you have one bad apple or bad orange, whatever you want to call it, in your circle, man, that could drain all of your energy. Just one person. That's why we have us, because we don't. Yes.
You know what's interesting? If you, and here's, you're talking about negative energy. Let's talk about that just for a minute. In the remaining minutes that we have, we can just touch upon this. Negative energy or a negative, being negative about anything mm-hmm. is about something that didn't go the way you wanted to go. Therefore, it's negative because you didn't get out of it what you wanted. Or how could it be anything? It couldn't be positive. If you got out of it what you wanted, whatever it might be, then it would be positive energy, right? So here's sometimes what I think, in my expert opinion, that you might convert negative energy into something positive. In that if you look at anything you want to do, no matter what it is, as something I want to achieve a result – I don't care if it's getting a glass of water. The result is I got the glass of water. Did I accomplish my goal in getting that water? Yes. Oh, I'm so thirsty, goddammit. Oh, my God, there's no drink in sight. I am dying. Oh, man, shit, no water anywhere here. You're not getting the result. That's a negative result, right? Then you get the water.
That's right.
What if we turn that conversation into the desire is to achieve a result? And it doesn't matter what that result is, but what I want to get is a result so I can move on. There's no moving forward if there's no result.
That's right. That's
so if something doesn't work out, okay, now I can move on because I know the answer. The answer was negative, right?
Yeah.
Well, I got a result, you know? So
so
positive result and a negative result on the same playing field. Either one of them, I want one of them. Would I rather have the positive result? Well, sometimes I'd rather have the negative result, actually, if I'm tested for a COVID. I'd rather have a negative than a positive.
Negative result will make you more stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you just said, Andy. Check this out. You said, you know, you don't have water, you dying of thirst. Now, if you look outside of everybody else, they have a water faucet. You could just pour in that water faucet and just drink the water. It's around you.
It's around you. Support.
Yeah.
Good point. Gaining support. How many of us gain support from others during our life? You know, we only have about less than a minute. Let's talk more. This is fascinating conversation. Let's talk more about this.
Yeah, I love it.
We'll dive right into it on Wednesday. As a matter of fact, Wednesday's show is going to be healing. Let me see the biggest taglines in Block Talk Radio. Healing, spirituality, getting well, religion,
and getting goals done.
On Wednesday's show, we'll touch upon the news, but we're going to keep this on schedule on time on this particular show. We have it running over. But let's, you know, folks, I hope you enjoyed. Amanda, take it away. We're going to wrap this Monday show at 5 o'clock somewhere show for the UK. We'll see you Wednesday. Go ahead, Amanda.
Okay, from Andy Kimball in the beautiful Hollywood. From Cornell Butler in Delaware, and from myself in the UK. Yeah, but you're still here with us, darling. From myself in the UK, thank you for being here with us and joining us on another UK show, and we'll speak to you soon and listen in for the next one. It's going to be interesting. Thank you for being here.
Looking forward to it, folks. Take care. See you Wednesday. Bye-bye now.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.